In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 153, on Indulgences. And we see the treasury of the image shows the treasury of the Church, our spiritual treasury of the Church, with Christ up high with the Blessed Mother. Looks like the evangelists or the apostles there. Doctors of the Church. We see many different saints, and they're all bringing treasures, and they're marked prayers, good works, penance. The gifts that they're bringing to deposit in the spiritual treasury are all marked, and the various saints are carrying them and placing them in this treasure box that Christ is sitting on the throne above. And the caption reads, "The Church has a spiritual treasury made up of the infinite merits of our Lord and the superabundant merits of the Blessed Mother and the saints. The passion and death of our Lord and the penances and sufferings of the Blessed Mother, who did not need to do penance, and of the saints, have created this spiritual treasury which Christ left for the use of the communion of saints. In this way, a penitent who gains in indulgences receives from his mother, the Church, some of the wealth gathered in the spiritual treasury from the merits of our Lord, Mary, and the saints." First question, what is an indulgence? An indulgence is the remission granted by the Church of the temporal punishment due to sins already forgiven. Our Lord gave the apostles and their successors the power to deliver men from every obstacle that might separate them from heaven. Thus he said to Saint Peter, quote, "Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." From Saint Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. To the apostles assembled together, he later made the same solemn declaration. Since Christ gave the apostles the power and right to forgive sins, free men from hell, and lead them to heaven, he certainly also gave them the lesser power to free sinners from the temporal punishment due to sin and save them from purgatory. A civil ruler who has the right to pardon criminals is empowered to choose in what manner he will grant the pardon. The Church exercises a similar right and power in granting indulgences. An indulgence is not a permission or license to sin. One who is not in the state of grace cannot gain an indulgence. It is simply a forgiveness or release from temporal punishment, but the guilt must previously have been taken away by confession. An indulgence relates to temporal punishment due to sins of the past and cannot be gained for future sins. How does the Church, by means of indulgences, remit the temporal punishment due to sin? The Church, by means of indulgences, remits the temporal punishment due to sin by applying to us from her spiritual treasury part of the infinite satisfaction of Jesus Christ and of the superabundant satisfaction of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the saints. In the Church, there is a spiritual treasury made up of the superabundant merits of our Lord, the Blessed Mother, and the saints. The merits of the passion and death of our Lord are infinite, for he is God. All these he left to his Church. The superabundant satisfaction of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the saints is that which they gained during their lifetime but did not need, and which the Church applies to their fellow members of the communion of saints. When the Church grants an indulgence, it does not really cancel any expiation due to God. It only supplies for our deficiencies by drawing on the spiritual treasury of the Church. A mother had many sons and daughters. Some of them acquired great riches, and upon dying, bequeathed their possessions to their mother to be used as she pleased. Now the mother had younger children who needed support in education. Once in a while, therefore, the mother withdrew money from the bank where she had deposited the riches left her and used this money for her other children. Divine justice requires an exact reparation for all sins we have committed. Usually the small penance of a few prayers imposed by the confessor is not sufficient to make satisfaction for our sins, which have outraged the holiness of God. Because we are often careless and have only imperfect contrition for our sins, therefore, even after our sins are forgiven, there usually remains some temporal punishment which we have to suffer either here or in purgatory. If we make use of indulgences, we draw upon the spiritual treasury of the Church, and thus balance our account with God. Has the Church always exercised its right to grant indulgences to the faithful? The Church has always exercised its right to grant indulgences. The Apostles granted indulgences. St. Paul writes of a Corinthian who had shown such signs of true repentance that his penance had been remitted. Quote, "Whom you pardon anything, I also pardon. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I have done for your sakes in the person of Christ." From 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. During the time of the great persecutions, the confessors and martyrs remained constant and were cast into prison, and many were put to death. Others denied their faith to escape persecution. On these the Church imposed severe penances. However, if the confessors and martyrs interceded in behalf of the apostates, their time of penance was shortened by the bishop. In other words, an indulgence was granted to them by the proper authority, in view of the superabundant merits of those who interceded for them. As the centuries passed, the Church moderated its severe penances. There was danger that if penances continued to be very severe, many would be unable to fulfill them. In order, therefore, to save as many souls as possible, the Church made the penances lighter. Public penances ceased to be imposed. The penitent was permitted to make atonement by means of alms deeds, crusades, or pilgrimages. Here the wider use of indulgences came about, and they were granted for works comparatively easy of accomplishment. More and more indulgences came to be granted, as today they are granted for reciting certain prayers, for visiting certain holy places, for fasting and almsgiving, for using certain sacred objects. Thus, when the Holy Land came into the power of the Turks and the pilgrimages could no longer be made to Jerusalem, Pope Boniface VIII granted a plenary indulgence to all who during the year 1300 should for 15 successive days visit the Basilica of the Apostles in Rome. This was the origin of the Jubilee indulgence. What are some of the advantages of indulgences? Some of the advantages are they cancel or lessen our temporal punishment. Thus, those who neglect the practice of gaining indulgences may be likened to a traveler who prefers a long and difficult road, although a short and pleasant one is offered to him. They console us in our fear of God's judgment for our past sins and give us hope for the future. When we sin, they encourage us to make our peace with God, for a state of grace is necessary before we can gain any indulgence. They encourage us to go frequently to the sacraments and to do good works. They enable us to practice charity towards the holy souls in purgatory. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay. I do wish to emphasize, I guess, the fact that the indulgences can only be gained once our sins have been forgiven in the sacrament of penance. So the absolution must precede these indulgences. Again, the indulgence is not a permission to sin, or it doesn't work in the future. It is actually paying a debt which we have already incurred. And the debt of our sin is that temporal punishment that is due to them. The absolution and confession will remit the eternal punishment of our sins for mortal sins, and it'll lessen the punishment of venial sins, but there is still some penance to be done above and beyond the few prayers that the priest imposes upon us as a penance in the sacrament of confession. And so to remit those temporal punishments, we can gain indulgences, and generally with indulgence prayers or works, wherever you see them written, you will also see the indulgence, I don't know, the degree or the amount of the indulgence that is applied to the various prayers or works. And it is surprising, but there are very many plenary indulgences that will wipe out completely all the punishment due to our sins. And again, this is for the sins that have already been forgiven in penance. So we still have to confess our sins, but we can remove, if you will, the punishment that is due to those sins by gaining the various indulgences that the Church so generously opens up for us to receive. If we have nothing else, then we can end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.